Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
How can you find the perfect time to do everything? Hello, everyone. Kevin Cruz here. And in just a minute, we're going to talk about the power of when. But first, congratulations on being a lifelong learner and being so proactive with your career. You know that LeadX helps you to stand out and get ahead. Please tell your friends at work, LeadX is the smartest way to start your day. And today's career tip is strategic recognition. You can turn a regular thank you into a strategic thank you by doing three things. First, make sure you say thanks so they certainly understand you're giving recognition. Second, mention the behavior that you're recognizing. Third, this is the key, tie it back to a company value or a strategic initiative. We know from the research we've done, 10 million employees in 150 countries, that recognition is one of the three main keys to employee engagement. So the more you can show appreciation, the better, but go ahead and use a three-part thank you to turn it into strategic recognition. And before I introduce today's guest, big thanks for all of you who in the last week or so went on to iTunes, subscribed to the show, and left a short review and rating. It only takes a minute to do, but it's literally the best favor that you can do for me. Now, our guest today is known by everyone as the sleep doctor. He's a clinical psychologist, a fellow of the American Academy of Sleep Medicine, and recognized globally as one of the leading experts in sleep disorders. You may have already seen him on Oprah, CNN, The View, or Dr. Oz. And when he's not treating athletes, celebrities, and executives in his private practice, he writes best-selling books. And his latest is The Power of When. Discover your chronotype and the best time to eat lunch, ask for a raise, have sex, write a novel, take your meds, and more. He is Dr. Michael Bruce. Dr. Bruce, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Oh, we're excited to have you. And we're going to certainly talk about the power of when in just a minute. But first, I always ask our guest, can you share a time when you failed, maybe early in your career? And what did you learn from it? Because we want to learn from that failure, too.
I actually had a fairly recent failure that I'd rather talk about, if that's okay.
Even better.
It actually led me in certain ways to the power of when. So I've been an actively practicing sleep specialist for 17 years. And I've been a long time study about chronotypes and chronobiology. It's something that I've always kind of had an interest in. I was trained on it early in my career and seen a couple of patients like that. And I had this patient come in who I thought was an insomnia patient. That's how they identified themselves. And we started working together on some of my kind of research-driven, you know, tried and true techniques. And it wasn't working. I mean, it was not working. I mean, I was flat out failing with this patient. And to be very honest with you, I don't usually fail very often with my patients. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some people that are extraordinarily difficult to treat and some people that you may not be able to help. But generally speaking, I can usually get people at least a little bit better. And this woman just wasn't budging. So I brought her in and she turned to me and she said, you know, it's not that I can't fall asleep and it's not that I can't stay asleep. She said, it's that I sleep at the wrong times. And I said, you sleep at the wrong times. I said, you sound like my 15-year-old son who wants to go to bed at 1 o'clock in the morning and sleep until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And she looked at me and she was like, that's exactly what I would like to do.
Wow.
And I was like, well, hold on a second. So let's be a little bit more realistic. If you could make your own schedule, what would it look like? And she said, well, this is what I would do is I would go to bed around 1, I would get up around 8, and I would be at work by around 9:30, 10 o'clock, and I would shift everything, you know, a little bit later. And I said, well, why don't you do that? And she said, well, because my boss needs me in to work before 8, and my children and my husband need me up and helping out around the house, and it just really doesn't fit into my schedule. And I said, well, what if we did an experiment where we did it for a week and we saw what happened? And she was like, well, I don't know if my boss would go for that. To be honest with you, I think I'm about to get fired. So I said, well, would you mind me calling your boss? Called her boss. And he said, I don't really care what you do, but she's probably going to lose her job at the end of the week.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, no pressure.
Right.
Right. And so all we did was switch her schedule. And at the end of the week, I called the boss and I was like, how's she doing? And he said, I don't know what you did with her, but it's amazing. She's showing up to work at the new time. She's active. She's productive. She's in meetings. She's not falling asleep. Her work product has improved. He said, it's like you gave me a new person.
Jeez.
Which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And so I said, okay, awesome. So I went to call her and her husband got on the phone and he said, you know what? I like my wife more. It's a pretty big statement, right?
Right.
Pretty big thing to say to somebody. I like my wife more. And so I was like, wow, okay, well, that's pretty amazing. And so I started, you know, talking with her more about how we had kind of just shifted everything in her life. And she said that she had started to notice what she called mini time zones. Hmm. And I was like, well, you know, help me understand that. And she said, you know, there are times of day where I do certain things better than others, and it's really pretty cool. And I said, all right, well, let's figure this one out. So I went into the medical literature. And of course, you know, chronobiology has been studied probably fairly closely for the last probably 15 or so years, maybe even longer. The first chronotyping was done in the 70s. So I started to look at the most recent literature, and it was really pretty amazing. And that was really one of the things that helped me continue forward with my ideas for my third book, which is called The Power of When. Now, I had written about chronotypes in my first two books because they have a lot to do with insomnia, and they can have a lot to do with weight loss and when to work and sex and all of those different things. But this book was really one that I wanted to dedicate just to chronotypes. And so that's basically what I did. And what's cool about it is once you understand what time your body genetically wants to get up and wants to go to bed, everything else becomes really, really interesting. And so for people out there who do not know what a chronotype is, let's start there first. So if you've ever heard of somebody being called an early bird or a night owl, those are chronotypes. But it turns out that there aren't just two, there's actually four. And so I was able to create an assessment tool, if you will, a quiz that people can take online. So for folks out there who want to figure out what their chronotype is, it's free. Just go to www.thepowerofwhenquiz.com. And you can absolutely, positively figure this out. You can learn which one of the four chronotypes you fall into. So the next question you're going to say is, well, Michael, so what? Who cares if I'm a lion or a bear or whatever these crazy chronotypes are that you've been talking about? Here's where it gets interesting is when you wake up, when your body genetically wants you to wake up is when your hormones switch on for the day. So as an example, if you're a really early morning person and you get up at 5:30, right, your adrenaline and your cortisol will spike at 5:30 to help wake you up and your melatonin will go down. And then all of your hormones are incredibly predictable for a 24-hour period. And so if you just watch the hormone curves and you look at what hormones do you need when doing certain activities, you just make the match. And it's different for people who are early people versus this patient who was more of a what I call a wolf or a late person. And so once I was able to match it all up, I was actually able to figure out what the best time is to have sex, eat a cheeseburger, run a mile, you name it.
That's incredible stuff. And let me comment on a couple things here. And, you know, listeners, on a meta level, what I thought was pretty cool is, you know, Dr. Roos is saying, hey, for 17 years, I've been, you know, a sleep specialist, treated all kinds of people with a great track record. And it would have been so easy for him to just write off this patient as, well, that's one of the tough ones, just isn't going to get better. And yet he was able to listen and become a student himself and learn and really latch on. And I think that's a great lesson for all of us who are, you know, have achieved some level of expertise in what we do to kind of keep that beginner's mind along the way. And I also think it's just incredible. You mentioned both the boss and the husband in this case really talked about, you know, this miraculous change, you know, for the better. And that's something I also try to remind people, whether it comes to sleep or other forms of health and energy, or even your employee engagement at work,
right?
Because of the spillover and crossover effects, things that make you better at work make you better at home and vice versa. I mean, it's really just life and just a tremendous impact, which is great. And Dr. Roos, I want to again highlight for people. So this is very cool. If you just go online, thepowerofwhenquiz.com, and I took it myself, you get your chronotype. Like, it's kind of like what's your sleep personality, and it's lion or bear, wolf, dolphin. I came up as lion in my own case, and I encourage everybody to go because you can get some great insights and lessons just from this online tool. And I'm wondering, can you just share a little bit about those different types? Like, how is a lion different than a dolphin, for example, in a couple of key ways?
Sure, absolutely. So I can go through all four chronotypes fairly quickly for you. So the first one is the lion. So lions are my leaders. These are my wake up at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning people. They get, 50 emails out the door before everybody else. It's pretty impressive, some of the things that they do. They like to make a list and go from step one to step two to step three to step four. They're very orderly in their way of doing things. And it's pretty fun to watch them because they really are pretty impressive people. They're usually what we would call a type A personality. The problem, however, with being a lion is socially they have some real issues because, let's face it, dinner and a movie is out if you woke up at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, right? I mean, they're not party animals. They're not the people that you hang out with on a social level because they're so exhausted. They're going to bed at, 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. They make up roughly 15% of the population. Next are my bears. Bears are the largest group, and bears are the best. I love bears. They make up about 50 to 55% of the population. And they are my extroverts. They're my get-it-done kind of people. These are the people that work really hard but also play really hard. While they can be leaders, and don't get me wrong, bears make great leaders, they're really good at relating to their team, and they're really good at talking with their friends. And they're really a very social kind of group of people who have a lot of fun. The biggest problem for bears is because this research really hasn't been publicized very much. They don't know when the best time is to do things, so there's lots of fun things for them to learn. But the world works on a bear's schedule. Bears get up around 7:30, they go to bed around 10:30, and so they're the people that the world kind of operates around. Next are the wolves. Wolves make up also about 15%, and I am a wolf. And these are the night owls. I rarely go to bed before midnight. I get up. I only require about 6.5 to 7 hours of sleep, and so I'm up around 6:30, 7 o'clock. And our wolves are a little bit more introverted, but they also have a tendency to be super creative. So my wolves are my authors and my actors and my musicians. Most teenagers are wolves as well, as we were talking about my 15-year-old son and now my 13-year-old daughter. They have a tendency to be kind of night shifters in the middle of the night as well. Wolves have problems with society for a lot of reasons. One of them is everybody thinks they're lazy. Everybody says, why can't you be at work at 8 o'clock in the morning? Why can't you, do all of these things? And the truth is because their brains don't operate at that period of time. And then the final category are what I call my dolphins. And these are the people that have difficulty sleeping. A lot of times they're self-diagnosed as having insomnia. These are people who don't have a very heavy sleep drive, meaning that their body doesn't really want to sleep for very long periods of time, yet they feel like they need a significant amount of sleep. Dolphins have a tendency to be a little bit on the anxious side. They're my type A personalities with just enough obsessive compulsive nature that, in fact, it sometimes prevents them from completing their tasks. And so dolphins are really the people that I wrote the book for primarily, because it really helps kind of give them a schedule to really do a whole lot of things by. But all of the chronotypes benefit tremendously from what's going on in the book. And by the way, these aren't just things that I made up. These are actually genetically predetermined. So you could go to 23andMe as an example, and you could get your chronotype and learn if you're more of an early person or a night person.
Wow. So much good stuff there. And, it's amazing the way you describe. So I'm the lion. You said, get up early and bang out 50 emails, right away, but certainly not able to do dinner and a show because it's too late at night. And I think in that simple summary, you explained why I've had some success at work and such a miserable love life. I'm just not wired for it, I think, at night.
That's funny.
This is an interesting question, though. So you say most teens might fall into the wolf category, but then we change. So do we, as we become fully grown adults, we settle into one of these chronotypes?
Absolutely. So what we see is at different ages, people are different chronotypes. Then we kind of settle in at around age 20, okay. And then it seems to change again at age like 55 or 60. So depending upon how old your child is, you can very fairly reliably predict what is going on with them from a timing perspective.
Okay, good, good. And so again, with all of these answers, I just want to clarify for the listeners who haven't read The Power of When, it's not that there's a universal best time to eat lunch or have sex or take your medications. It's gonna shift depending on which of these four chronotypes you fall into.
That's correct.
And so this might be, I don't know how we can summarize this, but you know, most of my listeners are early to mid-career professionals. You know, what are some ways they can think about how to use, you know, chronotypes at work, you know, for their career? What are some key things they should be thinking about scheduling in certain times?
Well, so it's interesting because there's in the book, there's an entire section just about work, where I go through a couple of different things. So let's talk about some of the topics that are in that Great. Section of the book, chapter 11. So one of the first ones is when to ask your boss for a raise. Okay. So this is one of my favorite topics. And there's some great research out there on it. And so one of the things that people have looked at in the happiness world is when are people the most happy during the week? And I'll give you one guess which day of the week people are the most happy.
Friday, because it's the weekend?
Exactly. That is exactly right. It's Friday. Friday, people are the most happy. Now, I'm going to test you one more time, Kevin, and I'm going to say, when during the daytime do you think people are the most happy, before lunch or after lunch on Friday?
It should be after lunch because they're that much closer to the weekend, right?
Exactly. So no matter what your chronotype is, we've now narrowed down when your boss is going to be the happiest and when, what day of the week and what time of the day they're going to be the happiest, or at least you've got a range to work with here, right? So Friday afternoons are the best time across the board to when you want to get a raise. Now, here's where it gets interesting is we know that people who are lions, right? My early morning people, they're going to start to run out of gas by about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay, they're not going to be as, you know, gung-ho, be able to articulate their points, be able to kind of get that information out there. So you don't want to hit your boss until after they've eaten on Friday, because the last thing you want is a hungry boss when you're asking them for a raise,
right?
Because you are guaranteed to not get that raise. All right, so right after lunch, if you are a lion or your boss is a lion, then that's a good time to hit them. So now your next question is going to be, well, Michael, I can take my own chronotype, but are you telling me I got to go get my boss to take this chronotype quiz in order to figure out when I should ask them for a raise? No, I'm not asking you to do that. You can actually kind of get an idea of what chronotype your boss is by just watching their behavior. As an example, you know, does your boss fire off emails at 6 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock in the morning? If they do, there's a pretty high likelihood that they're going to be a lion. Or if they get into work, you know, by 7 a.m. every day, there's probably a pretty high likelihood that they're a lion. If they get into work, you know, 8:30, kind of normal work time, then they're probably a bear. If they never make morning meetings because they can never seem to get it together, and they're always up for having meetings later in the day or even in the evening and dinner meetings, then they're probably a wolf. And if you're getting emails from them all night long, like they're not sleeping very well, then they're probably a dolphin, right? So once you've kind of guesstimated what your boss's chronotype is, now you know Fridays after lunch, then you look at your own chronotype and you decide when you are in your most ability to articulate your argument, which is, hey, I need more money and here's why. And so it actually all comes down to science at the end of it all.
Love that. That's great. And whether it's asking for that raise or asking for another headcount for your team or explaining why the project went awry, this is an excellent way to figure that out. So before we wrap up, I always like to challenge our listeners. I say, get 1% better each and every day. And so I would love for you to challenge us. What can we do today, right after we go to thepowerofwhenquiz.com and find out our chronotype? What's something we could then do today to help us to sleep better, get more out of life?
Well, you know, it kind of depends on the audience, but one of the most popular questions that I get asked is when is the best time to have sex. So is it okay to talk about that?
Absolutely.
All right, so let's talk about it for a second. So here's where it gets interesting. So when you look at the hormones that everybody needs in order to have sex, right, it's you need to have high levels of testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, adrenaline, and cortisol all need to be high, and melatonin needs to be low. That's the sleep hormone, okay?
Okay.
93% of people have a tendency to have sex between 10:30 and 11:30 at night, when their hormone profile is the opposite
right.
of what I just described. Okay?
Yep.
All of the estrogen, testosterone, all of that is going down and the melatonin is going up. So you heard it here with Dr. Bruce and Kevin. People should be having sex at like 8 to 9 o'clock in the morning, like let's say on a Saturday morning. Okay? And here's even further proof that we know this is true. Most men wake up with an erection. If that is not Mother Nature telling us this is when we're supposed to do this, I don't know what is.
Yeah, that's a pretty strong sign right there.
Exactly. So for folks out there who are interested, learning your chronotype can be very, very useful. Now, there's a great section in the book where let's say you're a lion, but your partner is a wolf. I teach you exactly what to do and how to communicate that to your partner.
Wow, that's wonderful. And so this is good for Saturdays or any other day. And now back to that one patient that we started with. Now we know why the husband's a little happier that you had her waking up a little early and staying out of work for an extra hour.
There you go. You know, it's definitely healthy.
Everybody's a winner.
That's right.
Thanks for coming on to the LeadX show. And tell us again, how can we find out more about you and your work?
So feel free to take my quiz at thepowerofwhenquiz.com. My website is thesleepdoctor.com, and I can be found as The Sleep Doctor on Facebook or The Sleep Doctor on Twitter, or look me up on LinkedIn.
Excellent. Friends, you've just been mentored by The Sleep Doctor, Dr. Michael Bruce. Don't forget you can get the links just mentioned and the notes from this interview over at leadx.org. You can get Dr. Bruce's book, of course, from amazon.com or your favorite bookstore. And while that's it for today's episode of The LeadX Show, don't forget to download our free ebook, Richard Branson's 7 Secrets to Leadership, over at leadx.org/Branson. And until next time, remember, we are all leaders because leadership has nothing to do with power and authority. It has everything to do with influence. Please lead with intent.